We're going to continue our series entitled Releasing the Force of Faith. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5 before we even get into it. And this is what I expect every time we crack open the Bible here at Word Life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 says in the Amplified, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom using clever rhetoric, but they were delivered in demonstration of the Holy Spirit operating through me and of his power stirring the minds of the listeners and persuading them, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom and rhetoric of men, but on the power of God." Amen. It is so important that we set our expectation on him. You know, there is a exchange when the anointing is present. There is a pooling. There is a the people who receive the most are the ones who get out of the way and just go after what God has. You know, the reason why blind Bartimaeus got his eyesight back, because he didn't care what they were saying. They were saying, hey, Bartimaeus, shut up. He's busy. You know what he did? He cried the more. He got louder. You know why? Because he had a different goal than they did. He had a desire to be whole. The reason why the woman with the issue of blood kept going, the reason why she put her life at risk, it was known that if she was caught out in her condition, that she would be stoned to death. But she knew if she just touched the hem of his garment, that he would be made whole, that she would be made whole. You see, what are we going after, family? What are you desiring to grab hold of today? It matters how we position ourselves. And I'm encouraging you to position yourself today to receive. And you'll be added to, because the anointing does just that. It breaks every yoke. It destroys every yoke. It causes ease. It causes us to be lighter when we're heavy. It causes us to get understanding when we don't know what to do. When it's foggy, when we need clarity, the anointing takes care of that. Is there anybody interested in being made whole? Interested in being added to and never being the same? The intro to this message is, when you and I release the force of faith, it will empower us to act. There will be something that takes place. There will be a power shift in the atmosphere because of our response to the Word of God. When faith rises and you and I act, heaven meets us right here on earth. The Word says, "The just shall live by faith." It also says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because it's impossible for your loving Father to be pleased if we don't receive. It requires faith to be saved, to be delivered, to be healed. It requires faith for you and I to interact with heaven. Faith is the vehicle that transports heavenly things. You and I must participate by releasing our faith in order to receive. Faith is available for you and I to change the situations that are in front of us. You know, heaven is looking for a man or woman on earth to take a stand. Heaven is looking for someone to say, no, but the Word says this. The reason why Elijah stormed the gates of King Ahab's palace was because he had a word from the Lord. When you and I take God at his word and act on it, supernatural is released. And I know that's what's needed. You and I, we need supernatural power to flow on our behalf. We don't need another good talk. We don't need to come together to see each other because it's been a week. We need God to intervene with what's going on in our personal lives. We need God to show up on our businesses, our homes, our marriages, our children, our relationships. We need God to do what only he can do. And family, I know with all that is in me that when you release the force of faith, you will see a difference before your eyes, a tangible manifestation of the power of God, because you're saying yes to Jesus, because you're saying yes to this message. Lord, I believe you enough to do something about it. I believe you enough to act on your word. My objective is to inspire us to trust the Lord like never before, to live a life that's full of faith, a life that pleases God and impacts the world. I'm looking at world changers. I'm looking at people who are handling, who are carriers of the anointing. Let's look at some definitions. The word releasing, that's our title, releasing the force of faith. The word releasing means allow or enable to escape from confinement to set free. Another definition of the word releasing is allow something to move, act, or flow freely. The word force is defined strength or energy as an attribute of physical action or movement. And the word faith. The word faith is complete trust and confidence in someone or something. The reason why we're looking at this series, releasing the force of faith, because when you put those definitions together, it sounds like this. The force of faith means allowing the strength and complete trust and confidence in God to flow freely in your life. Anybody interested in that? Last week, we started looking at the life of Elijah. We're going to continue that today. The Bible gives us little background on Elijah. It wasn't his pedigree or his education that brought him into a position of influence. It was his acting on the word that he got from God. It was a revelation that God gave him that put him into a position of influence. Just as Elijah's revelation from God put him into a position of influence, I declare that you will walk in a position of influence when you act on the word of God. There is a man of God that said, it will not rain. There won't even be dew on the earth until I say so. That boldness came from a word that he got from God. What is God saying to you? What has God said to you that you have yet to act on? I declare that when you take action, when you release your faith by moving forward and trusting God enough to do something about it, the force of faith will go before you. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 2. We looked at verse 1 last week. Elijah was bold enough to speak before the king, even before there was proof that anything good would happen. You know, all that Elijah saw were other prophets being killed by Ahab and Jezebel. He had no proof that if he did what God was telling him to do, that his life would be saved. He acted on something that he'd never seen before. There was no evidence that God would save him, that God would prevent Jezebel and Ahab from killing him. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 2. Let's read that together. As it comes up on the screen, let's read that together. You guys ready? Ready? Read. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. You know, I'm reminded of the illustration of a quarterback and a wide receiver. The quarterback does not throw the ball where the wide receiver is. he throws the ball where the right receiver is going. So he throws the ball at the end of the route, and that's when the connection is made. If you and I stay in a place that God told us to be, but is now telling us to go there, the provision, the promise, the fulfillment is there, not where you are now. It's important to understand that faith comes by hearing, true or not true, and hearing the word of God. Faith does not come from having heard the word of God. Your instructions are rolled out as you obey. When you and I obey, God takes us from this place to that place because we went to that place in the first place. That makes sense? I can't say it again. I hope it made sense. It requires us listening to the voice of God and responding. Amen? The force of faith will escort you and I to our place called there. God protected and provided for Elijah during this period of time. Not where he was, but where he was told to go. Where have God told you to go? That's where your provision is. Elijah's obedience caused him to meet up with God's perfect provision. You know, he must have liked ravens. He gave him just what he needed in order for a time provision. And notice, as the story goes on, he didn't say, no, God told me to stay here. God told me to come here. I'm staying here. The place where we are will dry up if God has told us to go there. That's exactly what the brook did. The brook dried up because that was no longer the place where Elijah was supposed to be. Family, when we release the force of faith, we will release direction and a path that will continue to take us exactly where God would have us to be. God's provision has been dispatched on your behalf. And when you and I obey it, provision is waiting for us. You know, what if you're in a place now where you feel like you're in a rut? What if you aren't fulfilled right now? What if there's some things that are missing? What if there's a void that is nagging you deep on the inside? Could it be you're where you were supposed to be still? Could it be God is calling you to the next level? God is calling to you to the place called there where provision is waiting for you. It requires faith to step out, not knowing. Whenever God tells you to do something, he makes the provision for you to do it. God never speaks something for you to do without giving you the ability to do it. The very fact that God said do it means that you have the ability to do it. So you and I can never blame God. God is not trying to boss you around. He's trying to connect you with supernatural provision. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Kings, and I'll finish reading. Did I read any of 17 too? Did I? Okay. Okay, 1 Kings 17, 2. I'm going to read 2 through 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The Lord gave Elijah new instructions. He gave him next steps. Although Elijah did what he did out of obedience, there is now next steps available, required. And I don't want you and I to get stagnant and comfortable not obeying God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. Where are you guys going? In verse 2. Now, this is talking about Abraham and Isaac. Just because God gave you a word and you obeyed it, He supernaturally provided for you back in the day, that doesn't mean He's done instructing you. How many of you know that God has more for you? Amen. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. You guys there? Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Then He said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I should tell you." Now, if you and I are living off of old information, we could be missing out on God's provision. Even worse, we could be getting ready to kill God's promise. Why am I saying that? Because there was new information that took place. The angel of the Lord came to Abraham as Abraham was preparing to obey. His instruction was to take his son up to offer him. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 11, is that right? That's supposed to be 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. Is that right? But the angel of the Lord? All right. Genesis chapter, it's a typo on my notes. Excuse me, y'all. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. I'm like, what was he doing in Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. This is the updated information. How many of you guys ever have to refresh your computer or update? Now think about this for a second. What if he stopped listening? What if he was so sorrowful? What if he got to the place that he stopped hearing God? What if he was so frustrated with God's instructions that he cut him off? What if he didn't position himself to hear the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What if he had heard and he was not hearing? What if his faith wasn't active? Family, what if you and I are not hearing? What are we killing off? What promises are lying dormant because we don't have current information? You realize faith can't last in the past? Faith is always now. It was the current information that saved the life of Isaac, which is the promise of God. And I declare to you right now, in the name of Jesus, it's the current information that's going to save the promises of God in your life. It's active faith. It's you and I releasing the force of faith that's going to cause us to grab hold of the promises of God. Somebody say amen to that. Because it's true. You know, amen means so be it, let it be unto me. Is the promise of God alive and well in your life? Has those things that He promised you active in your life? You know, if there's something lying dormant, I dare to say you haven't done what He's instructed you to do. What was the last instructions that you received from the Lord? Have you done them? Why would He tell Elijah to go to the brook Cherith if he never approached King Ahab? If he never confronted the king, he would have never got the instructions. He would have never been by the brook. Whatever He told you to do last, family, I'm encouraging you, go back and do that. What was it? What were the, and I know there were instructions that are undone right now. I know by the Spirit that there are people in this room, there are people watching online that have some things that are undone. And some of it was offense, knocked you off course. Some of it was just getting weary. And the reason why the Bible instructs us not to get weary in well-doing, because he knows a promise is at the end of that. Every time you and I take another step forward, we are realizing the promises of God. Every time we are one encounter away from the promises of God being released in our lives. One devotion, one service, just obeying God allows us to continue tracking toward the place that he's called us to. Where has God called you to? Are you pursuing that still? Or did so-and-so step on your toes when you were in the third grade? Did so-and-so offend you because they didn't look at you or greet you? Did you get stuck in man? Did you allow a man's perspective to stop you from doing what Almighty God instructed you to do? I know I did. Don't look at me so holy. Some of y'all did the same thing. And the reason why we're talking about it, the reason why we're spending time in the Word is to get out of that. To take the Word, learn of Him, and act on it. Amen? If Elijah would have stopped listening or ignored what he was hearing, he would have starved to death. If he would have said, no, Lord, I can't go to the brook. What are you talking about? I'm not going. No, I'm good right here, Lord. He would have starved to death. Your provision is where God is asking you to go. The Lord was just sending him to his next place of provision. The force of faith will usher you and I through obedience. If you don't follow through on what God said, you don't get to partake in his supply. And that's what we want. We want to partake in his supply. Amen? You have to be at the right place in order to receive from God. Because God is just that specific. You know, when Carolyn and I stepped out and started Word Life, things weren't all in order. You know, there was fear hovering over me every time I opened my eyes. There was. You know, but man, what are they going to say? Oh, dear God, he doesn't approve. You know, they said it's too soon. And all along, God was saying, son, step out. It's time. Son, respond. Listen to me. And I would go to another man because I was scared. Can I be straight up with y'all? I was scared. And God kept on instructing me. He kept on pulling me. And finally, it took 3 years for me to say, okay, Lord. You know, it got so bad. There's a difference. When you feel like you're not obeying God, when you're not responding to God, then when you're just straight up in disobedience, it's a different feeling. It got to a place where I was like, yes, Lord. And then who he was so much greater than who they were. It mattered more what he was saying than what all the naysayers and the critics were saying. And you know what? God was right. God was right. And some of the people who were watching and hiding and critiquing and shaking their heads are now saying, y'all doing all right. It's important for us to obey God, family. It's important for us to do what God says over what man says. The fear of man will always come against the promises of God. The fear of man will always come against God's plan. Always come against God's plan. The fact that fear is present is the opposite of faith. You don't release the force of faith in your life being afraid of what she's going to say, what he's going to say, what are they going to think? Amen? You know, we have never looked back, if you're unfulfilled and dissatisfied, search your heart. What is it that God has instructed you to do? What did he say to do? You know, Mary got it right. Mary, Jesus' mother, said, do whatever he says do. And she got it right. And the first miracle of Jesus' ministry happened because the servants heard what Mary said. You know what? If they didn't do whatever he said do, the very first miracle that Jesus demonstrated wouldn't have happened. It required them to do what she said. And she had the insight. Let's go there. Let's go to John chapter 2 and verse 5. John chapter 2 and verse 5. It matters. You know, in a matter of weeks, when we did step out, things just came into place. When we finally said yes, you know, the promise I made to God, if you open the doors, I'll have the courage to walk through them. And he began to open doors. And I would say, oh man, for real? Okay. I walked through it. He opened another door. Like, all right, Lord, all right. And I walked through. And because of that, lives are being changed. You know, the greatest fulfillment that I get is seeing somebody walk in one way and then seeing them walk out another way. He grabbed the steering wheel and yelled, Jesus. He heard the semi go by. He opened his eyes and he was in the ravine on the side of the freeway, and he saw the semi speeding by. And he said he was already stopped. There was no way that he could have gotten out of the path of that semi. And he knew right away an angel picked that car up and moved him out of harm's way. I have my own story of wrecking my vehicle. I had a car that was too fast for me, and I was speeding. I always sped. I was guilty. I was going 120 miles an hour, and I fell asleep. And when I opened my eyes, I had the windows. I shouldn't have been driving that late anyway. I had the windows down. It was freezing outside. I was doing everything to stay awake. I already drank a cup of coffee, and I fell asleep driving. And when I opened my eyes, all I saw was the speedometer and then taillights. I know I was going 120 miles an hour because I seen that first, looked up and saw taillights, slammed on the brakes, and yelled Jesus at the top of my lungs. And went off the side of the road and flipped the car over and over and over and over and over and got out of the car without a scratch. And the top of the car, I wish I would have kept picture, the top of the car smashed all the way down to where there was no window. There was no gap. I still don't remember bending down to get out of the car. But when I seen that car, all I could do was weep. I know for sure that I was saved. I know without any hesitation that Jesus saved my life because he wasn't done with me yet. And you're here today because he's not done with you yet. You are full of purpose. There is a calling and an assignment on your life. And I boldly declare that no hurt, harm, or danger is going to come nowhere near you, because God has something for you to do. And the moment that you and I begin to move out and do what he has instructed us to do, he's going to keep giving us instructions. Where to go, where to go, where to go next, what to do next. Let's talk about I can do it. Let's go to verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 5. Family, whatever God has called you to do requires your obedience. Whatever it is he's called you to, it requires your participation. It requires your obedience. His provision is waiting for you at your place called there. Let's read that together. You guys see it? Ready? Read. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. What did he do? He obeyed and said he went. Three reasons for you and I to get into our place. The first reason is provision. Say provision. The second reason is protection. And the third reason is guidance. When you and I get to our place called there, we can expect three things to take place. We'll be protected, we'll have provision, and we'll be guided. Your obedience matters. The obedience doesn't change God's heart towards you. He loves you no matter what. However, when you and I are obedient, we can make certain that we're releasing the force of faith on our behalf, and the force of faith comes to get us to our place called there. Let's go to John chapter 2 and verse 5. John chapter 2 and verse 5. Actually, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. We already talked about Mary getting the servants ready for the miracle. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, ready, read. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Hold on, let's pause right there. We're going to read 23, but let's pause right there. What is the word to your flesh? It is health and life. The word of God provides life and health. When you and I release the force of faith, when you and I look at the word of God over and above the media, we can receive the health and the life that is available. When we allow the world to speak louder than the word of God, when we turn our attention to the media only has fear to offer you. And family, what you focus on is magnified in your life. And what you attach yourself to, you bring it into your life. And I'm encouraging you to attach yourself to the word of God. You bring faith into your life, and you allow hope to rise on the inside of you. You release the force of faith and do what God has called you to do. That has to be done on purpose. If you do nothing, fear shows up. If you do nothing but stay idle and listen to everybody else, you magnify fear and you begin to eat of it. You begin to receive of it. You have an absolute weapon in the Word of God that not only protects you, but it moves you forward in the things of God. You know why Jesus shined in the middle of leprosy, poverty, pagan worship? You know why he shined? You know why we're reading about? You know why we're saved today? Because Jesus only did what he heard his Father do. You and I have the ability right now to tune in and only do what we hear our Father say do. We have the ability to only say what he says. We have the ability to walk in the same anointing that Jesus Christ walked in. No different. The Spirit that is in you is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The world's not going to tell you that. You're not going to hear that on the news. You're not going to hear that on social media. You know where we get that from? The Word of God. The Spirit of truth leading us and guiding us into all truth. It's time to rise up and be men and women of God. It's time to rise up and take our rightful place as ascended beings seated in heavenly places. You know, whenever you go up, things that are of the earth look so small. Whenever you and I are in a plane, the tallest building in the city is a small issue. When things attack you, you position yourself on the throne. And they become so small. When you and I take on our rightful righteousness, everything changes. The atmosphere shifts because of who you are. You are already mighty men and women of God. The word of God is true. Truth is the highest form of reality. Let's go to John 16:13. John 16:13. Speaking of the Spirit of truth, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide who? You guys see that? He will guide who? Say, that you is me. Into all truth. You know why the word that Sylvia spoke was so powerful today? Because did God tell any of us to fear? Did we receive that instruction from God? No. It's the world. And here's the thing, family, the world is always saying the opposite of God. That was a on-time word. If there was something to fear, I would have told you. How many of you have a relationship like that with your daddy God? How many of you have a relationship? Does he talk to you? You don't need a guide if you're not going anywhere. The Spirit of truth is a guide. If you've made your mind up to not move, to not go forward, do you need a guide? It's important for you and I to respond to the voice of Jesus. Begin to wholeheartedly pursue what God has for you. Continuing the story of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 5 says, so he, Elijah, went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Verse 6 says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Verse 7, 1 Kings 17 says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Most people wouldn't wait on a word from God, and they would do something out of panic. It said after a while. Look at what he did. But in truth, if you don't ever have anything contrary to what the Lord has told you, and it's easy to think, well, you know, that's Elijah though. You know, that's a prophet of God. You know, how do I compare to him? I'm glad you asked me that. Let's go over to James chapter 5 and verse 17. As you're turning there, the instructions that God gave Elijah was, then the word of the Lord came to him, this is verse 8 and 9, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow woman there. So my point that is, he didn't just say go. He told him to go and instructed provision to be waiting for him. Concerning Elijah and you, let's read that together. James chapter 5 and verse 17. Ready? Read. Elijah was a man with a nature like whose? Oh, wait a minute. He wasn't a mighty, bold prophet? Let's read on. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. You know, the only difference between Elijah and us is earnest prayer. Can we pray earnestly? Absolutely. Absolutely. We can pray earnestly. Earnestly means fervent, intent, purposeful, determined, and sincere. How many of you are sincere about the things of God? Raise your hand if you're sincere about the things of God. You know what that means? Every time you open your mouth, you're praying earnestly. How do we get there? Let's wrap it up. How do we get to our place called there? Number one says what? Act on the word you have right now. Don't let what you don't know keep you from doing what you do know. What did he say? Do that? But I don't know what next steps are. It doesn't matter. He said, take one step. And you have to take that one step. Yeah, take it. Number two says what? The Lord is faithful to show you and I what next steps are, but it doesn't start until we obey. Number three says what? Uh-oh, I lost half of you. Okay, ready? Read. Amen. Live off of current information. Keep hearing and hearing the word of God. That's the most current. Your faith is right now. Number four says what? Speak out what you believe. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. It's kind of hard to teach faith without teaching out of Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 23. It says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into a sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he, what's it say? Will be done. He will have whatever he. What I see here in the scriptures is there is a ratio taking place. And that ratio is three parts saying, one part believing. When you and I believe the word of God, it's important that we speak out something. Number four again was what? Speak out what you believe. Everybody say this with me. I believe in the word of God. I believe in the power of God. Number five says what? Refuse the lies of the enemy. Every time the enemy speaks, he's lying. Every time he opens his mouth, he's lying. And you know what? If it's something negative and bad, if it's doom and gloom, guess what? It's the enemy. And when you hear, when you can identify who it is, you can write it off right there. Oh, that's a lie. If you hear him coming at you, don't participate. Don't say, maybe I am coming down with something. Say, oh, that's a lie. I'm not going to make it. Oh, that's a lie. I'm lonely. That's a lie. Because the word says that he would never leave me or forsake me. I'm sick. Well, that's a lie because he says, by his stripes, I'm healed. That's a lie. I'm not going to make it. Oh, devil, you're lying again, because the word of God says I'm an overcomer. If you can identify the context of what's coming in your ears, if it's bad, it's the devil, you can count it off as a lie. Stop wrestling with, is this me or is this God? Is this me, God, or the devil? Is it bad? It's the devil. You participate with the word of God. You begin to rehearse what the word says. Amen. Six. Number six says what? Embrace the new life. Find and follow God's will for your life. The new information, staying in faith, leads to God's provision. The new you, be teachable. Let him guide you. And last but not least says what? Ask God for wisdom and revelation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your incorruptible seed. Thank you that your word will do exactly what you sent it to do. It will not be void. Faith has come because of hearing and hearing the word. And Father, we trust you. I pray for anyone who is wrestling with fear, doubt, and unbelief. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing causing an ease, a release, and a comfort. If I could have Patty and Andy come up, please. You know, as we prepare to dismiss, I don't want to skip over the opportunity for you to have your needs prayed for with every head bowed and every eyes closed. You know, if you are a believer and you pray in other tongues, begin to pray in other tongues, because there's something that takes place when we get on one accord. You know, that's one thing that we can do on one accord at all times. We begin to pray in the Spirit. We are praying exactly what the Spirit of God wants to pray at that time. And there is always such a time as this. And as you begin to yield and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to use your vessel, it begins to create an atmosphere of comfort, because the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is your advocate. So we want you to know that this is a safe place. And if you have a need, that need can be met today. So as we begin to dismiss, we're going to have these ministers up front. So we're encouraging you to come forward. If you know you have a need right now, come now. If you have a need of prayer, they're here to minister to that need. Well, they are trained in the word of how to pray and instruct hope and healing, deliverance. So if that's you, we encourage you to come forward and receive prayer. You know, God is a good God. He's a faithful God, and he desires you to be whole. No matter what the attack is, God is able to meet you right where you are. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, your precious children, these men and women of God, those who are present here in the room and those who are watching online. If you have a prayer need online, please communicate, send in an email, and we will be excited to pray and agree with you. And when you receive your miracle, be sure to let us know. We love to rejoice with you. Father, as we dismiss and leave this place, we thank you for your ministering spirits covering us and keeping us. We declare that no hurt, harm, and danger will come anywhere near us. We thank you for the promises of Psalms 91. We thank you, Lord, for the promise. We respond to James. We respond, Lord. We know that you haven't given us a spirit of fear. We respond to the sound mind. We respond to the power that's on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome day spending with our family in the Word. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.